Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, reading from verse 10 through to verse 23. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. Each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are of Christ. And Christ is of God. Today's passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians is written at a time when the church in Corinth, established by Paul, was going through a period of real tension. Factions were arising with arguments as to who was the best leader. You can read all about it in verse 3. And of course, in verse 20, Paul alludes to it when he writes, "No more boasting about human leaders, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas." Paul's warning against damaging the church through disunity. At first, he could seem quite arrogant, couldn't he? He's even boastful as he lays this claim, "I laid the foundation as a wise builder." But for the preceding words, "By the grace God has given me," he writes. The original word for grace is charis, or God's gift. Paul's not claiming any glory or recognition for himself, but simply for God. Everything is of God and for God. He's reminding the Corinthians that their church community was formed by God and it's centred on God, not on any human leader or human leader's abilities, including Paul himself. It's by bringing the attention back to what church is all about, the body of Christ, worshipping and serving God, with God completely central, that Paul aims to resolve the squabbling. If we think about what church is really about, then who leads, who turns up on whatever day of the week that might be, whatever the style of worship is, whatever the building is like, none of that should give rise to argument. Instead, our focus needs to be on building the church up, the church as in the people of God, the children of God coming together. Paul refers to it in verse 10. He laid the firm foundation led by God. It's now someone else's turn to build on it and to do so with care. Every Christian, every single Christian, you and me, we are all called to be such a builder because God has asked each of us to nurture one another. That is, help one another to grow or build up that church community, build up individuals. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." We have all been called to build up the church. And that's in terms of its growth and its spread by attracting people in and welcoming them, sharing the good news and befriending. The church in Corinth was in crisis in that those within the community were damaging one another with their cliques. They were presenting a negative image or bad witness to those outside of the community. They were definitely not creating a safe, loving space that God intended. Maybe you haven't thought of yourself as a builder before, but now that Paul has sown that seed of thought, what sort of builder are you? Are you the wise builder Paul says is necessary? Are you constantly building on the firm foundation stone that is Christ, of course? Or are you building on and around other things which lack the security and permanence of God? Paul refers to gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay and straw, all materials commonly used in buildings, but all prone to destruction, as indeed the great temples of Jerusalem proved. Of course, through the building analogy, Paul is pointing out the need to create and maintain a strong, unified church to be the best that we can be for God. And that reference to building materials isn't necessarily the literal building. It is the building of the people, and it cannot be superficial. It has to be completely of God. However, as well as that call to build up other people, to build up the church community, to be a good witness outside the community, Paul is also highlighting the need to build ourselves up with the right and only foundation. In verse 16, we read, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple?" And yes, he is referring to the community, but he's also referring to the individual, because it's the individuals that gather together to create the community. Now, I suspect that many of us don't see ourselves in that way. We don't see ourselves as God's temple. We perhaps look to other people's brokenness and we see that that may be at fault for not having the best community that we could have. And do you know what? I think for those of us that do self-reflect, we often see our brokenness and our imperfections over and above how God sees us, which is his amazing, unique creation. We are special children of God, every single one of us. Our view of ourselves and other Christians, unfortunately, can be especially damaged if our church community is experiencing the hurts and harms of internal frictions, when actually we need to see ourselves and others through God's eyes, unconditionally loved and forgiven. There can be a tendency to see God as actually being outside ourselves, not living within us, a temple in which God resides. But that is indeed what we are. We are a temple in which God resides. God lives inside us. God is in us. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them." As we are drawn to recognize how special we are, and how special everyone is from God's perspective, we are of Christ, Paul writes in verse 23, we should find a renewed passion and energy to live really well together and to build up our church communities. To do that by building up individuals, the individuals that we meet and ourselves, rather than damage them and knock them down. If we don't keep our sights on building ourselves up, the church and Christ, as Paul writes in verse 17, we risk destruction. And he doesn't hold back on the warnings. Go back, read those verses again. If we don't come together in unity as a church community, we will self-destruct. And the only way to avoid that is by everything being Christ-centered. Christ, our cornerstone. We are building on the work which Christ started and which we have been given responsibility to continue, and to continue wisely.